in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here.
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
P&E.
What's P&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Happy Wednesday. It's over the hump Wednesday. We're getting you there. Start looking forward to the weekend. Instead of looking back at what happened last weekend, that's kind of our Wednesday. We pivot. It's like we pivoted with Chris Beard last hour, talking Texas hoops. They're going to play Seton Hall tomorrow night. Remember, that's, I say tomorrow night, it's tomorrow evening. That's 5:30 tip time. Don't get home at 6 o'clock and think, oh man, the game's already half over. 5:30 tomorrow night, 6:30 Eastern time from Newark, New Jersey. Texas and Seton Hall. And if you missed it, then you can always go back and listen to it at hornfm.com. But Chris Beard said, seeing Seton Hall up close and on film, he thinks one of the best 10-12 teams in the country. Very tall, versatile, big 7-2 guy in the middle with a 6'6 point guard. I mean, they're an East Coast team. And it was fun talking because Chris and I are the same age. And so we talked about, you remember those times. Did you ever go to the Big East tournament when you were
always
back East?
Yeah, that was.
Oh, man.
That was.
You missed it.
That was spring recruiting for most coaches on the East Coast, but we'd all meet at Madison Square Garden, kind of go have dinner together and hang out.
Our ritual was in high school. So I was in high school from late 80s, so graduated in 91. But we would do the basketball thing, and then Zay would go over to Mr. Gaddy's all-you-can-eat pizza, and we'd turn on Big Monday. And then a Big Monday, so you'd have the 6 o'clock game our time in Houston. And it was always Georgetown versus St. John's and John Thompson against Luke Harnaseca. It was, you know, Syracuse with Dwayne the Pearl Washington.
Absolutely.
And then Seton Hall had really good teams. I mean, it was badass. That's where you fell in love with basketball. I mean, we all liked the Rockets. And you remember that back in Houston at that time, that the U of H had just had the Phi Slamma Jamma run.
Mm-hmm.
So college basketball, it was kind of a frenzy where I grew up and where Chris grew up in the Woodlands. I grew up in Northwest Houston. He grew up north of Houston. But, man, that was college basketball. That was when it was great. And I think we'll get a little dose of that.
The Big East was fun with Boston College and mobsters on campus.
Yeah, it's just what it's about. Old school. Now, we have a new school now, where the money is flowing. I mean, that was back when those games were so great because each school, the kids would stay there 3 and 4 years. So you have these matchups for 3 seasons and 4 seasons. And, you know, Ewing against, remember those St. John's teams that had Chris Mullen? And,
oh, yeah.
I mean, they were great teams, just great teams and great coaches. And the players stayed for multiple years. So you got to see the matchup over and over again. And it was home and home in the regular season. So those on-campus games, and then it would turn into the Big East tournament in Madison Square Garden. That was good. That's a great sports memory lane.
Because yeah, I kind of grew up watching Nova basketball.
Oh, Villanova with Jay Wright. But back then it was Raleigh.
Yes.
Raleigh Massimino. No, as a young sports fan, that's where you. And again, U of H Cougars were big on that because it's a football town in Houston, and the Oilers were the story, but mm-hmm. Astros were really good. But, man, it was all about college hoops back in the day. And we'll get a little bit of that tomorrow evening, 5:30. And, Buck, let me ask you this, and I'm trying to figure this out. People are going to have to help me here because I'm confused. This whole Quinn Ewers story has thrown some wrenches in things. So, because people are talking about when he comes here, because, look, he's class of 2022. Right? I mean, that's his graduating class.
Right.
So the fact that he went to Ohio State and he graduated a semester early, or 2 semesters early, does that throw off his NFL draft eligibility? Like, he will still be, won't be eligible for the NFL until 3 seasons after his high school class.
Right.
So that's, it's still 3 seasons. Or am I wrong on that?
No, it's the third season.
I think you're right. But what is he going to be? Is he going to be seen as class of 2021 because he graduated early, or he will still be the class of 2022? Because the Anwar Richardson report, Orange Bloods, that we gave during Salacious Gossip, and we can reset that Anwar reports this morning that Quinn Ewers will visit Austin this weekend. He's eliminated TCU. It's really down to Texas Tech in Texas where he's going to agree, you know, sign up with. And Texas would like, and according to Anwar's report, both schools would like the decision by Monday because that can help push through, you know, the Pied Piper effect with
Absolutely.
Other recruits. And remember, these are the recruits of his original class. So these are kids that, you know, he grew up playing 7-on-7 with. These are players that he was growing up knowing and that are his contemporaries, his peers. So this 2022 class that signs next Wednesday, that's his grade. Those are his people.
Right.
I think people get, or at least I get confused. No, he should be in high school right now playing in the state playoffs. He went to Columbus for a semester and, you know, took two snaps at Ohio State. But so he still can have that recruiting Pied Piper effect on, ooh, I want to go play with Quinn
Ewers. Well, for sure.
And that's what Texas and obviously Texas Tech would be hoping for, and, you know, push some final decisions across the finish line.
Especially Tech would be hoping for that.
Well, there's Joey McGuire trying to build a program and rebuild some Texas ties with high school coaches. And gosh, I've heard there's been some whispers. You know, South Lake Carroll's still playing without Quinn Ewers in the state playoffs. There's been some whispers of, you know, Joey McGuire trying to lure Riley Dodge to Lubbock. The South Lake Carroll head coach, who was Quinn Ewers' head coach before he went to Columbus, to some type of quarterback coach role to maybe help sway some conversation. I don't know. You know, all those are being talked about back channel. But we'll see. Texas, I know, feels like they're in a good spot here, but it's a kid that's been kind of wishy-washy as he is.
Got to keep closing.
Got to keep closing. But that's, I mean, if you're the optimistic Texas fan, you're thinking, okay, Quinn Ewers is going to commit. That's going to, and now we got this Pancake Factory offensive line cash machine.
So are the tents up at Westlake now? Is that what we're saying? The tents are out of the driveway. Sark's not overshooting 100 free throws this morning. Zay, he should be in a driveway on his 60th free throw right now. Shooting hoops?
No, not at all.
He's done. It's unpacked. He's gone.
Dabo was at the family dinner.
Dabo and the girlfriend and Clemson and the... No, Klubnik is off the board.
Never say never.
But you know what? I mean, if you're Steve Sarkisian, you got to be working all channels. If indeed Quinn Ewers decides West Texas and Lubbock is his fit and Joey McGuire. And, you know, remember, Texas Tech just hired the offensive coordinator from Western Kentucky who runs that complete air raid style.
Mm-hmm.
They are the number one passing offense in the country, Western Kentucky, who UTSA, Jeff Traylor and company, just beat them to win the conference championship. But you know, a lot of people see the kid at Western Kentucky who just took the Tech OC job as one of those rising young offensive mind stars. You know, does that play in with Quinn Ewers? And, you know, the money, I mean, both sides are going to be offering financial packages. We know that in name, image, and likeness era. But somebody just texted, and this is what I was looking for, that Ewers has been reclassified as class of 2021. Okay, well, that's impactful in that he would be eligible. If that's accurate, he's eligible now for the NFL draft in 2 years.
Right, true. Not next year, the following year.
2 years. But, I mean, the kids that sign on December the 15th aren't eligible for the draft in, for 3 years.
Right.
But Quinn, who's their same age, and at least had been their same class, he's already accelerated that to where he's draft eligible in two. Okay, well, and if that's accurate, then that you know, I don't know how impactful it is, but at the same time, you know, normally when you get a player like that, you're guaranteed 3 years if he stays, right? He doesn't portal out.
Right.
But he's 3 years in your place. This case, you're two.
Well, he can't portal out anymore from now on. It's going to cost him a year.
Right, exactly. And that's the one-time transfer rule that he's already used. And if he is indeed reclassified, then all of a sudden it's a two-year deal with him. Two-year deal. We're signing a free agent, which is what this is. Free agent deals. But you're Steve Sarkisian, you'd still do it. And I would say this for Sark. If you're not going to get him, now this conversation, you know, back channel, are you in on this LSU kid? Max Johnson, who's Brad Johnson's son. Is that a conversation you get into? He's into the portal now with Brian Kelly being hired at LSU. Those are names. Plus, he's got a five-star.
Once again, you can't be worried about what Murphy's thinking. You have to go recruit.
Yeah, Malik Murphy's been solid to Texas all along. And he continues to be.
Yeah, he doesn't seem like a finicky kid at all.
And he was. It seems like with Malik Murphy, the kid out of Serra, California, he has been a Sark guy all along. Like he was going to go to Alabama if Sark were still there. Now he's in Austin and he's coming to Austin. So yeah, that's where Texas is. The Quinn Ewers story. But thanks for the text that he is reclassified as far as draft status and graduating class is really what's important. Because remember, the NFL draft rule is you are eligible for the draft 3 years after your graduating class. So he's now graduated in 2021, reclassified. So that would be draft of 2024. So 2 years. So we'll watch that story. As we said earlier, and it's not breaking news, this stuff's going to develop quick. I mean, if he's here this weekend, the decision could come Monday. National Signing Day will be next Wednesday. So we're 1 week away to Steve Sarkisian holding a news conference over at the 40 Acres to discuss his early signees. Whatever that class looks like, right? It'll be the first time we've heard from Sark since the end of the...
And then into the transfer portal you go.
Then it's portal. And, you know, that's where we are. And we'll keep you posted on it and take your thoughts. Also, Buck, the Cowboys are playing Sunday against the Washington football team. And the line is 4.5. Cowboys favored on the road. The Washington football team is the always fun home dog by more than a field goal. You good with that? Where are you on this, Mr. Gold Star Lock Picks? I mean, you don't have to give me your pick now, but
a little on fire after 3-0 last week.
Little on fire.
Yes, just a little bit.
3-0.
Christmas holiday just for you people.
Well, as you know, I like to play the divisional game unders in these late in the season after week 10, and so this would I'm going to for sure play the under in this game. Cowboys Washington.
Okay.
Because it's a divisional game and it's after week 10, and last week those seven divisional games went 5-2. Just simply taking the under. And it was same the week before. But so if you're a Cowboys fan, you're looking at this and okay, it's fair to say the Cowboys have been in a bit of a what's the adjective? A rut?
Yeah, they're a little bit of a
malaise, a funk. I like
offensively.
Funk. Now, they did beat New Orleans last Thursday night, but anybody that saw that game would tell you that that was no thing of beauty, especially on the offensive side of the ball. If Taysom Hill doesn't, you know, break his finger just on his throwing hand and then all of a sudden he can't throw, who knows where that game goes? Because it was 13-10 in the third quarter, and it felt like the Saints had momentum, and then he starts throwing interceptions because the Cowboys got him behind the chains. But again, the Cowboys' offense by no means looked dominant. The game changed on a 58-yard touchdown run by Tony Pollard to separate the game a little bit. But here you go with Washington, who I know, you know, I'm as guilty of this as anybody. Early in the season, watching them not play any defense, give up big point totals, and just look non-competitive. It was like, man, we had big expectations for Washington coming into this season. They were in the playoffs a year ago. They got Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, defense was supposed to be strong.
Defense is going to be stellar. And they just got off to a terrible start to the season. And so you kind of wrote them off. And they had a four-game losing streak in that stretch. But how about this? And this is where a great coach and leader can turn things. You know, they got to their bye week. And they had lost four in a row. And they were sitting at 2-6. And since the bye week, they haven't lost a game, Buck. And they've inserted Taylor Heinicke as their starting quarterback.
That's Zay's guy.
And they came out of the bye, and they had a home game with Tampa, and they beat the Buccaneers 29-19. And everyone says, what was wrong with Tampa? What a performance. What a lame performance for Tom Brady. Well, Washington beat them by 10 points. Then they went to Carolina and beat the Panthers 27-21. Then they hosted Seattle, where a lot of people thought Russell Wilson and company would come cross-country and
beat
them.
Right.
They beat Seattle 17-15. Then this week they were in Vegas, where that's a tough road environment going into the black hole of Vegas, and they won that game 17-15. So coming out of the bye, they haven't lost. Now they're back to 6-6. And here, you know, Cowboys fans are looking for the Cowboys to get out of their funk. Washington fans are now all of a sudden looking at this game saying, wait a second, if we find a way to win this game on what could be a sloppy, cold day in Landover. We're over 500. We've just beaten the Cowboys and given them their fifth loss, and we're right in the thick of this thing because we know.
Yeah, and they've got a chance too.
Well, that's how big this game is. My sense is, and maybe it's even within myself, I'm thinking, well, the Cowboys are going to beat Washington. They'll go in there and get back on track. These are divisional games, but man, my divisional under stat tells me this is probably going to be a low scoring, tough game. The weather is going to play into that. Because temperatures are supposed to be in the mid-40s with rain showers on Sunday afternoon at noon, 1 o'clock on the East Coast. And this becomes a really big game, pivotal game in the division, because, again, if Washington can find a way to win it, they're on a 5-game winning streak, and they're in the mix with wins over Dallas and Tampa.
I still like the Cowboys' chances.
I do, too. But it's where this game is. Because, remember, Washington, if they get Dallas and they go to Philadelphia, then they go back to Dallas. So, again, Ron Rivera's team trying to build confidence. They get Dallas twice in 3 weeks. Same for Dallas. Dallas, the other side of that for the Cowboys, mm-hmm. they can flat bury Washington, right? They can just end this thing and say, you know, let's go ahead and lock up this division before Christmas and start getting ready for the NFC playoffs. So we'll see. We'll get to the matchups and, you know, the number. We know the Cowboys lost both games to Washington 1 year ago in the year every Cowboy fan would like to forget, but neither game did Dak Prescott play in, if memory serves. He was injured, but they lost pretty handily in both games. It was 25-3, and then you'll remember the Cowboys lost the Thanksgiving Day game to Washington a year ago, and that was ugly. Remember that was the Mike McCarthy fake punt play?
Oh, yeah.
Where they were awful. I mean, that was as bad a Cowboy, and that was the middle of the day Thanksgiving.
And he's back on the sideline now, right?
Who? Yes, Mike? Coach McCarthy will be back, we believe, from his COVID situation. And the positive side for Dallas is they should be as healthy as they've been. You know, they still have some lingering things, but they should be as close to good health. They did the 3 games in 12 days thing through Thanksgiving. Which
Lawrence and Gregory, are they back too? Possibly.
I need to get an update on Randy Gregory. I know DeMarcus Lawrence, he came back for the Saints game and played well. You know, their Neville Gallimore, defensive tackle, came back for that game. He's back. They're getting healthy, and they're getting healthy on offense because, you know, Amari Cooper should be through his COVID situation. He'll be back with Michael Gallup, with C.D. Lamb. And let's say one thing, and I don't know, the problem with the Washington football team in that 4-game losing streak and that 2-6 start was their secondary was awful. I mean, quarterbacks were just putting up huge numbers. And I think if you look at the overall stats, they still are way down there as far as, you know, quarterback passer rating against and, you know, the defensive secondary performance. But as I pointed out, since the bye, they've made some adjustments and they only allowed 19 to Tampa. They allowed 15 to Seattle, 15 to Vegas.
Haven't given up 20, have they?
Right. Those are all high-scoring teams that they're held down. Safe to say Ron Rivera did something during the break to fix the defense.
Yeah, he did something, and so did the Kansas City Chiefs on their defense.
They did. You're right.
They haven't given up 20 in a game since winning streak.
The most Washington's allowed since the bye was 21 to Carolina. And Carolina's not a high-scoring team. They just fired their OC. But Tampa, Seattle, and Vegas, under 20 points.
Just got to watch out for that Heinicke cat.
And there's something about, I know you and Vizay like to joke about Heinicke. He's got a little bit of magic to him.
Yeah, he does.
There's something about him. And I think
so when he goes into that fake slide, let's go boom.
And I think it's fair to say that Dak Prescott needs to, you know, get out of whatever funk he's in and have
no
a good
kid.
Cowboy fans are waiting for him to have a big game. And this would be the secondary, which you should be able to create matchups to. You know, what do they do with Zeke Elliott? And do you worry about Zeke? He's been banged up, but now you've had 10 days off. You know, I've talked about maybe just giving Tony Pollard the start and letting Zeke sit and get as healthy as possible for this stretch run.
No, because I think you'll need Pollard just as much.
Yeah, the
can't overwork that dude. I want to know who the third back is.
I don't know who the third.
They've
got to
have a third back there. If you got two that are starting in games,
I'll look at the depth chart here coming up. But yeah, that's where the Cowboys will be. That's noon Sunday. You'll hear it right here on the Horn, of course.
DeMarco Murray going down there and playing some ball. On Sunday for him.
DeMarco Murray, the Oklahoma running backs coach.
Is the running back coach from Oklahoma going down there and getting in some Cowboys games?
I don't think so. But I think he's somewhere angry at Lincoln Riley. I think that's
still
where DeMarco
mad.
Murray is. Because this, boy, Sooner
he's
fans,
about to get paid for sticking around, Zay.
Well, he's loyal. Listen, two things are happening. If you go to the Oklahoma message boards, don't do that. You should never do that. But it is volatile. They are so mad at Lincoln Riley.
Hey, they need to get over Lincoln Riley. He's gone.
But they are. This doesn't happen to them. You have to know, Oklahoma fans, this has never happened to them.
They just fire people.
They just expect their great coaches to retire as Sooners, and they're, you know, Bob Stoops and Barry Switzer and, you know, this, you know, Bud Wilkinson. You don't go. This is what we do.
So start playing it. Dun, 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 dun. And skip playing that Boomer Sooner
well, like,
silly
you
song.
Go to there's on social media, and so, they're like accusing Lincoln Riley of. You know, he's now the worst guy ever. Like
worse than Lane Kiffin?
Yes. That's how they're viewing him. Because remember we had the one story where the assistant coach was still recruiting.
Oh yeah.
Who hadn't left yet, Ron Manning, this defensive backs coach. Now they're like, "Ooh, fox in the hen house.
But
get him out of here."
He's recruiting for USC.
Oh, and then there's like allegations of an affair and all this kind of. I mean, they are going after this guy. And it's all just gossip. They're just mad. And I think the same thing's happening with Notre Dame.
That's what's happening with Larry Fitzgerald. They're just mad. Somebody's just mad at him.
Well, your point of Brian Kelly that, you know, he did 12 great years there.
Right.
And he rebuilt the program. And he wanted to I question Brian Kelly's timing.
And the way he did it, for sure.
And the way it went down. But I don't have a problem with him making a career decision. But again, Notre Dame and Oklahoma, this doesn't happen to them. This does not.
They don't like it, do they?
This does not. That's not how this go. You know what I mean? You
can't put Lane Kiffin.
Listen,
you can't put Lane
we
Kiffin.
We fire you at Oklahoma. You don't
Lincoln
leave
Riley
us.
In the same boat, can you? Come on.
Which one? Can't Lincoln Riley and who?
Lane Kiffin. You can't put those two together.
Well, no, Lane's the ultimate snake.
Yes.
There's no doubt. I mean, he snuck out of Tennessee.
I know Miami must be breathing a sigh of relief that they got their guy.
But the Oklahoma folks are. And, of course, while this is happening, he's stealing recruits.
Of course.
Or taking recruits. The players are all jumping into the portal and leaving. The program is disintegrating in the wake. So, you know, gosh, I mean, which, you know, 6 months ago.
DeMarco Murray's hanging, though. He's loyal.
Well, you think about it. 6 months ago, they couldn't have been more confident in Norman. we've got this coach, we're heading into the SEC, we're going to go win the national championship this year, and now look at them. They're like, oh my gosh, they're trying to salvage a recruiting class. They've hired Brett Venables, and it's all Lincoln Riley's fault. Zay, you're in there nodding. You love this. You love the chaos.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. People have been leaving Oklahoma for California for years. Shout out to Kevin Durant.
Yeah, man.
They don't like it. Plus, Lincoln Riley was about to dip without telling the team bye.
He was. That's the other part of it.
That's kind of scary. Did Bob Stoops had to stop
him? Bob
Stoops
had to talk him into going face-to-face with the team he wanted to skip out.
All you have to do is say goodbye. You're still going to get your money. They know you're going. Probably they've already known you've been going.
Yeah, all right. Well, we'll be back. That's where we are with the Cowboys, with Oklahoma, with Quinn Ewers. The latest on that front, we'll take your thoughts on all of it. Also coming back, it's a Wednesday midweek, which means we not only start looking forward to the upcoming sports weekend, we look forward to the live music weekend, which is tremendous. It's jam-packed with great stuff. Our music expert and music insider, Tom Gimble, will walk us through that coming next.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Beautiful Wednesday in the ATX, and it's that time of year. The holiday season is here, and coming up, Tom Gimble is going to walk us through the live music weekend, and it includes some Rock and Roll Hall of Famers and some big-time performers, but also a lot of holiday shows and themed, which is always great this time of year to get yourself into the holiday spirit. And it should be a beautiful day today. Temperatures in the 70s, 75, perfect. And remember, we told you Thursday and Friday, there's actually be some record-setting heat into the hill country with southern breezes coming to push things into the upper 80s, but then back to a cooler weekend, so some holiday weather coming. And we've got holiday music on the brain and talking plenty of college football. Let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline every Wednesday. It's a treat for us, and it's special to have Tom Gimble, the GM of the Austin City Limits television show, walk us through the best shows of the week and weekend upcoming, and he's with us now on the hotline. Tom, good morning. How was the final taping for you guys for season 47 last week?
Good morning. It was really cool. It was Terry Allen, and he brought some special guests along, you know, including Charlie Sexton and Lloyd Maine. So it was kind of an Austin all-star band with the great Terry Allen, who's such an incredible songwriter and compelling performer. And you know, it was a pretty full house. We were able to, for the first time in two seasons, able to open up our lottery again, where folks can go to acltv.com, put in their email address, and win free tickets to an Austin City Limits taping. So it was a really good way to end the season. Good vibes all around, great music. So it was a fitting end to what I think was a really tremendous season 47. Very proud of the season that we were able to put together, considering all the challenges of this year.
Yeah, a lot of Grammy Award nominations on that rundown of people you taped this year from all genres. You know, it wasn't one of your tapings, Tom, but ACL Moody Theater, I know several of my good buddies and our friend Eric Raines were at the Sammy Hagar concert on Monday night down there. And all reports were it was the Red Rocker at 74 was still rocking. Did his solo stuff, did all his Van Halen stuff, and everybody I know that went said they had a blast, and Sammy Hagar can still bring it.
For sure. Yeah, there's been some good shows. The Sammy Hagar show, I heard a lot of good things about. A friend texted me from the Billy String show saying, you know, there's a line around the block and I've seen this guy seven times and he just gets better every time I see him. You know, there's really been some good shows. And I think the good shows are going to continue into this week.
Yeah, including tonight with a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer and a legendary musical performer at the Paramount Theater.
Yes, tonight at 8 o'clock at the Paramount Theater, Lindsey Buckingham, who Rolling Stone says is one of the greatest 100 guitarists of all time. I mean, you look at this guy's career, and certainly he's known for Fleetwood Mac. And Fleetwood Mac was, you know, looking for a guitarist after Peter Green left the group. And Lindsey Buckingham happened to be recording in the same studio, and they invited him to join the group, but he insisted that if you're going to get me, you've got to also include my girlfriend. And they're like, you know, all right, well, who's your girlfriend? Well, it's this girl, Stevie Nicks. And then they released Rumors, and 40 million records later, that was probably a pretty good decision on Fleetwood Mac to invite those two. I mean, just an incredibly talented songwriter. I think he's, even though he's on that Rolling Stone list, he's underrated as a guitarist. You know, when people are talking about the greatest guitarist, you talk about Stevie Ray Vaughan and you talk about Hendrix and people like that. But Lindsey Buckingham is a really talented musician, and that's going to be an incredible show at the Paramount Theater
tonight.
So definitely worth checking out. And we're starting to get into the holiday season of music with a lot of those great Christmas shows, holiday shows coming to town, including Thursday night with the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, an annual event coming to Frank Erwin Center, bringing their you know, kind of orchestral metal take on the holidays, an incredible light show, incredible musicianship up on the stage. So Trans-Siberian Orchestra are going to be in town on Thursday. And then a duo that I'm a big fan of, they're called the Milk Carton Kids, two guys out of California. I saw them for the first time at the Americana Music Awards and instantly went backstage and said, you know, I'm offering you a slot on Austin City Limits right now. I mean, you're that good. And I've been a fan ever since, and they're really tremendous. And they're also really funny. Not only are they great musicians, but I almost kind of see them as a modern take on the Smothers Brothers, only with a little more chops on the guitar and vocals. But in between songs, they're just incredibly entertaining. Milk Carton Kids is a great show anytime you have a chance to see them. And Paramount Theater on Thursday night, definitely check them out. If you're a fan of the Black Crowes, there's another band out of Georgia, out of Atlanta, Georgia, called Blackberry Smoke that absolutely brings that same Southern American rock that, you know, bands like the Black Crowes and Aerosmith and, you know, just you know, really good American rock and roll. Blackberry Smoke is going to be at ACL Live at the Moody Theater on Friday night. And then Hayes Carl is holding down a 3-night residency at Antone's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Our friend Hayes Carl is going to be in town. So definitely check him out one of those nights. Really good show at the Hole in the Wall. We don't mention the Hole in the Wall often on this show, but it's one of Austin's, you know, live music institutions. I'm glad it's still around. On Friday, it's hosting a really good double bill. Chili Cold Blood and Mike Ferris is coming down from Nashville. He's a Grammy Award winner, former lead vocalist of the Screaming Cheetah Wheelies. Tremendous voice. Mike Ferris was who we had come for the ACL Hall of Fame and do the vocals for Stevie Ray Vaughan when we inducted Stevie Ray Vaughan and Double Trouble into the ACL Hall of Fame. He sang lead, a tremendous vocalist and a great guy. So really good double bill at the Hole in the Wall on Friday night. And then another one of those great holiday traditions, the Bruce Robinson and Kelly Willis Holiday Shindig. That's going to be at the Paramount Theater on Saturday. And they're bringing along their friend Radney Foster. So that's a great bill. And then right next door at the stateside at the Paramount is Ian Moore's Family Christmas. So two Christmas shows right there on Congress, you know, side by side, Paramount Theater and the stateside. So you can check those out. And then Dawes out of California, they're going to be in town at Stubbs on Saturday night. And our season 47 continues. There's an encore episode on Austin PBS this weekend, this Saturday, with Patty Griffin and the Revivalists. Really good taping from last year that you can check out this weekend on Austin PBS. And then we continue with our Music Week, another Christmas show. It's the Charlie Brown Christmas performance at the stateside at the Paramount. That's going to be Sunday night. And then Pink Sweats. This is not a holiday show. He's from Philly. His name is David Bowen, but he goes by Pink Sweats. He's an American singer, songwriter, really popular, getting a great buzz. He's going to be at Emo's on Tuesday. So that is our Music Week. It's an eclectic week, but we're seeing, you know, some of those holiday shows coming to town, which should really be fun. And of course, you know, tonight kicking it off with Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Lindsey Buckingham.
Awesome. Always great. And yeah, that time of year, you want to get out with the family and the kids. And heck, I think my wife's going Thursday night to see the Nutcracker, Tom. So it's that, or is it Nutcracker? No, she might be some other show they're going to see. So it is that time of year. So we appreciate you being with us each Wednesday. Love that Patty Griffin episode. Can't wait to tape that one and watch it multiple times for your show, the Austin City Limits TV show on KLRU on Saturday night. Tom, thanks so much. Appreciate the work, and we'll post all of your picks because you highlight your top 8 or 10 each week with us, but we post all of your list, the local music spotlight at hornfm.com. We can't thank you enough.
Always my pleasure, E. We'll see you next week.
All right, there you go. So there's Tom Gimble, and always helping you, and we know you love your sports and your football and your live music, though, in the live music capital of the world, so there's a little roadmap. Perk your interest. And, yeah, always go over to the website. Just click on it, and he's got the whole list there. So if you're looking for a show, I've done it many times. Find that little list on hornfm.com because we got some time. What do you want to go see? And they're all sitting there for you, times and where they're going to be each night between now and next Tuesday. So appreciate that. We will come back. Remember, while you're out to all your live music shows, do it with a nice cold Bud Light, the world's favorite light beer. Be safe, be smart, but it's going to make the good times great. The great times unforgettable when you do it with a Bud Light. I can promise you that. Be safe and smart, though. Get a safe ride home. It's B&E on the Horn.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Appreciate Tom Gimble and the live music update. Yeah, Lindsey Buckingham at the Paramount Theater tonight. That should be fun.
Here's an Olds.
There's an Olds one, yes.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of good stuff rolling through Central Texas again this week.
That's as close to Christmas music as they gets right there.
With Fleetwood Mac?
Yeah. Say he's got to hit me with some of that good stuff next week.
We're going to do Christmas. And we're doing the B&E Christmas Carol Contest.
Oh, my goodness.
We'll get revved up next week. Make sure you're putting them together. Start racking your brain. We already had someone texting us, Bevo got run over by a Jayhawk.
Wow.
So that's where we'll go. But, of course, unfortunately, the Please Don't Suck song is the one to beat going in.
Always.
And here we are to the classic movie Frozen, Please Don't Suck.
The closer we get to Christmas, the more I remember 5 or 6 years ago when I went to a friend's. Her sister sang in a big pageant, and I forget, maybe your mom will remember the name of this ensemble that they put on. It has an orchestra with its Yettle or something like that it's called. Will someone please remind me of the name of that event? It's almost like a big Christmas pageant, but there's like, you get to, it's almost like Dr. Zhivago. You get to take a break, and the reel is done.
Dr. Zhivago.
That thing was like 4 hours.
Is it live?
Yeah, it's a live performance, okay. But I forget the name of it, which I said I will never attend again. It's a fiasco, dude. That's about 3 hours of straight-up song and dance. I forget the name of it again.
Okay.
But it was
you're advising people not to go to that.
I'm advising me never to set foot on one of those again.
I'm with you on that. All right, we had this day in history. 5 years ago, you were in New York at the Waldorf Astoria for the induction of Ricky Williams into the College Football Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I was there right. The Waldorf Astoria is not very far from the where the Christmas tree is there.
Yeah, Times Square?
No, not Times Square.
Well, Times Square is not far from that, Rockefeller Center.
Rockefeller Center, yeah, it's really, that was, and being in New York, and I just, as I, remember being in New York, from being in Pennsylvania, dude, those are the people with no faces. Everybody kind of looks the same. They got the same expression. They're always on the move. The faceless people of New York, yes.
They're always on the move. That was 5 years ago, but also, I don't know if you knew this, but 41 years ago this day, John Lennon was shot and killed.
In New York.
In New York City by Mark David Chapman. That was December the 8th. It's also the day that...
Chapman, dude's still in the can, right?
I believe so, yes. And we knew that yesterday was Pearl Harbor Day, so today naturally would be the day 80 years ago that we declared war on Japan and we began our entry into World War II.
Yes.
I didn't know this, though, because you mentioned Frank Sinatra earlier this morning. Frank Sinatra, Old Blue Eyes.
Old Blue Eyes, yeah.
Because we were playing songs that maybe make you tear
New York,
up.
New York for Sal.
And Sal in New York said it's Old Blue Eyes in New York, New York. Well, how about this? It was 58 years ago, 1963, that a 19-year-old named Frank Sinatra Jr. was kidnapped by Harrah's South Lodge in Lake Tahoe. After Frank Sr., Old Blue Eyes himself, paid a ransom of $240,000. That's a lot of money in 1963.
Yeah, it was.
240 G's in marked bills. Police then arrested two ex-classmates of Frank's sister. But it turns out that it was discovered that Frank Jr. was cooperated and he was part of the abduction.
What?
Yes, it was a trap against the old man.
Come on, Frankie.
You don't think Dad would just give you some money? We're trying to get attention? What's going on here? I don't even know this story. Who never made a movie about that for?
Frank knows some spots where they got holes and where they got little lakes and ponds they can put people.
You've seen Godfather and Godfather 2 when they moved to Lake Tahoe. You don't think Frank was a part of some of that stuff? Hey.
Come on now.
Hey now. Hey now, but that's a little walk back memory lane. But I know that's still one of your highlights of your post coaching career was to be a part of Ricky Williams' induction into the College Football Hall of Fame.
Yes, I got to meet Condoleezza Rice.
Condi.
With her guns.
I still can't believe you visited with her as long as you did. You need to get her phone number so we could like have her on the show and talk football.
I mean, she probably thought we wanted to talk politics.
Get the digits, man. Get the digits. No, we didn't.
She was buff, Zay. She had some guns, too.
You just got to say, we're never going to call you to talk politics. We don't care. We want to talk about football.
That's right.
But yeah, that was 5 years ago.
She's still on Peyton and Eli a few weeks back?
Yeah, she was on that show.
Yeah, she's still the provost at Stanford. I made a few calls, but I never got her. I got her assistant, E. That's who I got, her assistant.
So we played this earlier, and you mentioned that Condi was on with Peyton and Eli. Can we play this again? This was from Monday night's edition of Peyton and Eli, the Monday Night Football broadcast that they do. I still think this was funny. They had Joe Buck as a guest, Fox broadcaster. And this is pretty funny. This is by the way that show is successful and is doing well. The funny part about Peyton and Eli is they're famous. We know who they are. But they rib each other like brothers do, right? Mm-hmm. They one-up each other and zingers and Peyton this and Eli that. Well, how about Joe Buck? He got involved in this, which I thought was pretty funny. And you got to remember the context of this. Joe Buck at Fox called a lot of Eli Manning games when he was still playing with the Giants that Eli didn't play very good. So apparently Joe Buck, not a very popular person in the Peyton Manning house, especially with Eli and Peyton's mother. Well, here's how this went. I thought it was a pretty funny moment from Monday Night Football when the Bills were playing the Patriots.
Hey, Joe, when y'all have a blowout game, like, do you ever wish you could have a guest on there that you and Troy could interview?
Yeah, you know, the last time I thought about that was when you guys played Seattle at the Super Bowl.
Ooh, shots. Shots fired. Yes. You just went up a notch in my book, Joe.
Oh, one more notch. I get it. Trying to get on Eli's good list, trying to get my mom to send you a Christmas card after all the abuse you've given Eli. I get it.
You're smarter than you look. I went up tonight on Eli's list. I went down in your list, and I'm just going to have to live with that. It's just, I'm living in the middle somewhere.
There you go, Joe Buck. Also, I found this piece of soundbite. I didn't know this happened. Did you know that at the Hero World Challenge last week, that's where we got to see Tiger Woods and, you know, hear from Tiger for the first time since his car wreck.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so Jordan Spieth played a round with Henrik Stenson, and they both got docked two strokes because they teed off from the wrong tee box. Have you ever done that before?
Teed off the wrong, yeah.
Have you ever gotten to the tee box and your guys are like, hey.
Back it up over
back
here.
Back it up there, old man.
Yes, yeah, so for now they're trying to push me forward. Well, hey, old man, go up here and hit.
So you would never think that two professionals would do this, including, you know, gold medalists and major champions. But, yes, they hit from the wrong tee box, and they got docked two strokes at the Hero World Challenge this past weekend. And here was Jordan and Henrik Stenson trying to explain themselves in the post-round news conference.
It was only two shots each, so it wasn't a big deal. And I teed up first, and it wasn't my tee. So then Michael told me it's not my tee. Then Henrik hit, and I teed it up too far in front. And he told me to scoot back.
We were so focused on where we were teeing off.
Now you really you spoiled the whole thing. Now they'll be like, look at these guys. They don't know who's going to hit. Once they figured out who's hitting, one guy's trying to tee up in front, and then they both hit from the wrong tee box. So let's just leave it. A little note on the tee box would have been helpful, and I will make sure I tee it up on the right tee box in the future because I don't think I've ever done this before. Hopefully you haven't either.
Well,
have a nice Christmas, everyone, and we'll see you in the new year. Okay?
Thank you.
Tell him to put a note there at the tee box for us.
Well, I mean, you know, sometimes you play in a tournament, they'll put a sign up, right? Because sometimes in a tournament, they'll move the tee boxes from where you're used to. Then you got to put a little sign up there.
All right, Caddy, that's why I pay you 10% to know where its tee box we're hitting from today.
The 10%? Your guy, Matt Kuchar, doesn't pay him anything. Gives him like a couple of nickels. Cheapskate.
More than he would have made for a whole month there that week.
Hey, listen, everybody, have a great Wednesday. Appreciate you being with us, however you found us this morning, and we try to make it as easy as we can. If you missed any part of it, including Chris Beard, our conversation with Texas basketball coach, Quan Cosby was a great guest this morning, talking about all these name, image, and likeness deals that are coming online. Also, our buddy Tom Gimbel, all of it podcast at hornfm.com. Buck, have a great Wednesday.
You guys, too. Be careful out there, y'all.
Zay, you too. We'll be back tomorrow to preview Texas and Seton Hall. Also, the week of the NFL opens tomorrow night with a Thursday night special. And Isaiah Collier's got another edition of The Right Call, so we'll preview that tomorrow. make sure you're with us. And bring your buck-ons, bring your buck-offs, and be thinking about those Christmas carols. Start getting creative. You can begin to email them. ehogan@hornfm.com is the website, or excuse me, the email to get them to me. Lyrics, or if you want to go ahead and you're musically inclined, go ahead and make your own and start sending them to us. We'll start looking for this year's 2021 B&E Christmas Carol of the Year with a great prize pack coming up just before Christmas. So start getting those in. ehogan@hornfm.com is the email. Have a great Wednesday.